NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Wednesday, November 4th. Is there something important going on in the world right now? I don't know, but I'm going to take this fucking hour just not to think about it for a second, which would be nice. That's right, I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff here in Larry Harmer Studios. So we taped NFL Australia last night. I was sitting there sweating like a priest near a preschool, and now I'm in like a hoodie and pants. It's like that fucking Crowded House song. Two seasons in 2 days. Hot and cold. Anyway, Larry Harmer Studios, look, there is crap everywhere. Old mate's settled in. She's working her ass off. I've kicked her out for an hour. Let's do NBA Australia. So we rep Australia a little bit. We're going to talk about the NBA offseason. That's what we do here. Huge offseason week. Lots of stuff happened. We're going to talk about it all. Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, Steven Silas. Who knows when the offseason is going to end and the season actually starts? No one. That's awesome. So we're going to look at the offseason as well for the Aussie players. See what they're up against, what they're doing right now, and where they should end up, could end up, what could, should happen for each of them, which would be pretty fun, as well as some of the prospective prospects, which would be nice. And we'll have the top five teams, because it's top five season teams to watch in free agency, which would be nice. Of course, we've got Yeah Nahs, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take and a really quick peep at the draft odds, because it's only 2 weeks away. Love the draft. Can't wait for that. And that's brought to you by playup.com.au. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia for all your NBA betting needs. And we'll close out with a brand new Jingles HR for you. How's that sound? Good? I bloody well hope so. Because that's what you're getting. All right. NBA Australia episode 504. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better! And I'll tell you what, you better watch out for the Shaq attack, because, I don't know, especially for Darrell Wright. Holy shit, so they popped up this week. Shaq fought Darrell Wright in the showers while naked! In Miami. I mean, fuck me. I can't literally think of anything that's scarier than a naked Shaq attacking me in the shower. Jesus. That'll give me fucking nightmares. So it was a great little text message sort of thing. Basically, Shaq's talk show with Darrell Wright. Basically, well, the Darrell Wright talk show with Shaq asking about being teammates. And Shaq says, mine's 100% Riley kicking me out of that meeting. LMAO. Still remember it after a bad loss. His favorite thing to do was rewind a clip through 100 times and ask you why you did what you did. I must have pissed him off by laughing so much because he tried to kick me out and told me you told me I wasn't going anywhere. LMAO, bro, I was hella scared. Shaq then responded, my favorite moment was you trying to fight me naked in the shower and you Donis didn't want to break us up, lol. What the fuck? What are y'all doing? Oh, it's all about the culture down there in Miami, bro. Love it. All right. No more naked attacks, hopefully, for the rest of this show. Let's start off today's show with the naked whip around. Or the weekly whip around at the moment. More coaching news before we get to the big stuff. As predicted last week, the announcement that Houston had hired Steven Silas happened a day after, I think, our last show. Just keeps happening. But there you go. Steven Silas, new head coach in H-Town. The Rockettes. That's nice. Joins Ty Lue on the Clips, Hyper Ballard, Nate Bjorken on the Pacers, Stan Van Gundy building a fucking wall there in New Orleans, Billy Dee in Chicago. We've still got a coaching vacancy in OKC. Better hurry up. Fucking season might start in 7 weeks. Jesus. And speaking of which, Mo Cheeks joins Billy Donovan in Chicago. Cool, man. But the big fun news of the coaching world, really, was that Mike D'Antoni joining his old protege, Steve Nash, in Brooklyn. What? As an assistant, that is awesome, along with Ime Udoka, who everyone fucking loves, and was a head coaching candidate himself. I'll talk about this more in Yeah Nah, but I mean, suffice to say, the student now becoming the master is fucking neat. I love it. Good on him. Mike D'Antoni, Steve Nash, KD, Kyrie. Let's go. The other massive, massive news that broke pretty much as soon as we finished recording last week. Daryl Democracy Advocate Morey has landed in Philly. Democracy for Hong Kong.
Kill him!
What? 5-year deal with Philly, which is fucking huge. It's massive news for Simo and Embiid and all the Sixers fans. Speaking of students and master, we see the student's process, obviously, because Sam Hinkie was a student, an acolyte, if you will, of Daryl Morey. And the master might turn it in from the process into the result. What do you reckon? Hinkie, famously a Morey lieutenant. His old boss takes over. He goes in to the organization above Elton Brand, which is pretty funny. Because the front office circle jerk there in Philly, they're like, oh, gee, look, we're going to run like an internal review of who should stay and who should go. And we discovered that we should all stay. It was fucking dumb. And then they were like, all right, you fucking idiot, sit over there. We're bringing in someone who knows his ass from his elbows, Daryl Morey, and he's going to run this thing. Everyone's like, oh, fuck. Anyway, that's great. Of course, like clockwork, Shams came out and says, like, oh, I'm told Philly's expected to be interested in and pursue James Harden. Expected to be interested in. That's a lot of qualifiers there, Shams. Because, I mean, gee, you'd expect the team to be interested in a former MVP. What do you reckon? I don't know. That seems smart. He's good at basketball. Goddamn. Basketball media can be dumb, isn't it? Right. Other news. So, Daryl Morey. Look, this is massive. We'll talk about this later. In your Nas, because, I mean, what do you want me to break down, bruh? Like, I think it'll be good. You know? Anyway, the big other part of the sort of NBA landscape was that the Jazz, the Utah Jazz, home of Jingling Joe Ingles, sold for $1.66 billion to a nerd. Old Ryan Smith of Qualtrics. He's from Utah, loves the Jazz, so good on him. The Miller family, Larry Miller and Gail, obviously Larry Miller sadly passed away. Gail Miller and the Miller family trusted sort of being in charge of the Jazz so that no one could sort of sell it. You know, without the entire family agreeing, they all agreed. And Ryan Smith, long time Jazz fan, takes a controlling stake. I think it's 80%. But $1.66 billion for 80%, that's a lot of money. For a team, I think he also gets the arena though. So Vivint Smart Home Arena, I mean, that's a moneymaker right there. And the Miller Empire will just be fine because they own like a shit ton of car dealerships and all that sort of stuff all the way throughout the West. And a crap ton of other stuff. So good on him, but that's great. Speaking of money, the revenue dropped for the NBA. They released that by basically $1.5 billion. I think it was from 9.8 to 8.3, including $200 million worth of fallout from the democracy tweet from Daryl Morey, apparently. And geez, I don't know. They could lose a fuck ton more next season. We're about to talk about that in a second with no arena money, with your sponsors, your food, your booze, your merch, no ticket sales. Could get a bit fucking hairy. So, what's happening? When do we get a fucking season, Jimmy? Well, mate, I don't know. I'm not Adam Silver or Michelle Roberts, though I do cut a striking figure in a mini dress. But what's happening right now is that we have a couple of ideas about what the fuck's going to happen with the season next year. It seems like we've got two proposals. Pretty much the Players Association telling the league to fuck off with the Christmas start. It's like, we want some real holidays. And everyone's like, you fucking idiot. You had 4 months of holidays in the middle of the season. Anyway, so the league came out with a Christmas start, basically December 22. The Players Association are countering with like a late gen MLK Junior Day and less games. So 60 games versus the 72 that the league want. And this came after they pushed back the CBA negotiations. So basically the collective bargaining agreement for the fourth time to go, look, we'll give ourselves till next Friday. It's basically me giving myself like another week to do that essay I wanted to do and giving myself like a fake deadline. It's like, oh, nah, it's now due next week. Come on, Jimmy. Oh, Christ. But anyway, so fourth time they pushed it back. But this is pretty much like the be all end all this week because we're going to have a vote, an answer about what the fuck's going to happen. It seems like between the Players Association and the Board of Governors. And they've pretty much got to come to an agreement because that point, when they rip up the CBA, the owners are just going to go, well, fuck yous then. And we'll pull the rug out from under you dickheads and see how you like that. What do you reckon? So we've got the two scenarios, right? We've got the 72 games. The regular season will end in mid-May. Finals finishing around July, end of July, July 22. They get all that Christmas revenue and there's about $500 million to $1 billion difference, the NBA reckon, than the Players Association proposal, which is January 18. 60 games, the regular season still ends in June, the finals end around August. So you're going to lose a shit ton of money from your regional sports networks in that case, because you're meant to do 70 to 72 games with them. Your playoffs and your finals are going to compete with the Olympics just so LeBron gets another 3 weeks of fucking holidays on top of the 5.5 months he's already gotten this year. And the big difference it seems to be people, you know, in the NBA are realizing is that, oh shit, yeah, look, $500 million to $1 billion difference in December and January. And then the players are also like, oh, the big money difference for us is escrow. And they're basically trying to figure out if they can get an idea of how much money they can hold back from the players' paychecks basically to pay out over a longer time. The NBA want to give away or put 25% of your paycheck in escrow. Players Association are like, 15. We'll end up at 20 and we'll all fucking move on, right? How's that sound? And basically, Woj also came out and said, look, the league's basically checking the back of the fucking couch for more $2 coins to go down the shops to buy more lollies, for more monies to hopefully expand guidelines, nerd speak, on sports betting hard alcohol. Considering that Jack Daniels has been a fucking sponsor, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to hard alcohol. And casinos, here we go, to generate between 80 to 100 million bucks for the season, which is, you know, not bad. I mean, that's how much we make on NBA Australia with our sponsors, obviously. But basically, the big thing comes down to if they get the season done as early as possible, they're back on track for the 21-22 season, stymie their losses as much as possible. If they start it later, they fuck next season a bit as well, and who knows? Like, when are the players going to get the money that they pretty well? Like, basically, what is going to happen is you could end up having a real fucking problem with the broadcasting deals down the track as well. So it might feel like a little bit of the players cutting off their nose to spite their face at this point if they don't start in December. More than half the fucking goddamn league has had like shit tons of holidays. So it's pretty much just like LeBron bitching and moaning at this point, I think. So, but the good news to come out of it is it sounds like they're very much bang on with the play-in tournament. We're a four-team tournament with a couple of play-in series, basically, between the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds for the final two playoff spots in each conference, right? Which gives, this idea would give the 7 and 8 seeds two chances to get in because they'd play each other once. The winner gets through. The loser of 7-8 plays the winner of 9 versus 10. So basically, the 9 or 10 spots have to win twice without losing to get through. And look, this is all fun and games, I reckon, but it's still cowardly. Just play fucking Super Jimmy's 7 through 12 and away we go. You know, my fucking ever-evolving idea of the 7 through 12 seeds playing off, what, you've got 9 versus 12, 10 versus 11, the two winners of that play a little series against 7 and 8, so it's not hard, man. Come on. Anyway, so there it is. It seems like basically by the end of this week, we have a bit of closure looming. Probably, hopefully. And if not, we might be in a big fucking set of trouble. I'll tell you what. It could be pretty bad in that case where if the owners go, look, fuck yous, if you want to start later, it's going to cost us too much. Why would we be running this season at a loss? Go fucking blow it out your asses. And the players are like, oh, okay, we'll start in December. But the tweets really did feel like coming out today from all the news breakers that it did feel like the move to December 22 was sort of gathering at least a bit of momentum. And obviously with Election Day happening in America right now, obviously the players' thoughts and energies are being spent elsewhere, obviously in trying to get people to vote, etc. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow and the day after. But we should have a vote, I reckon, Thursday. So Friday, our time, we'll find out a little bit more. Going to be fascinating, isn't it? Here's hoping we get a season. Being pretty good to actually have a season. You reckon? Jesus. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Top 5 Season, the 5 most interesting teams in free agency, and the Australian Player Watch. See what everyone's going to be up to this season right after. What do you reckon? Oh, this one.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
It's Top 5 Season. I love the top five season drop. That's right. All right, top five season, five most interesting teams in free agency. We sort of talked about free agents last week, talked about the tiers and where everybody falls at. And obviously, with the start of the season being pushed back and everyone trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with that, the big problem is also sort of looming about the idea of like, all right, well, what happens with free agency? And if we start training camps December, like, you know, 7, and we're starting by December 22, like, Jesus Christ, you don't have much turnaround from the draft into free agency. People are going to have to make big decisions on not a giant amount of time turnaround time, right? And also, the big thing is going to pop up is if you tender an offer to a restricted free agent, that ties up your cap space for 48 hours. 48 hours in this environment, in this economy, are you kidding? Not going to happen. All right, so my top five most interesting teams in free agency right now. Number five, Denver. That's right. They're in the Western Conference Finals just the other day, basically. But they've also got Jeremy Grant to make a decision on. Do they basically bring him back on a shit ton of money? And he's going to be one of the most coveted free agents out there because there's A, fuck all dudes out there, and B, he is a switchable big wing who can play a shit ton of different positions, guard a lot of different positions, and also when he's on from three, you got to feel pretty good about Jeremy Grant. And there are teams out there who will try to poach him, but Denver, they've got to try to bring him back if they feel like they're on one. And if they don't, I mean, what do they try to do? Do they try to bring in Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol? They've also got Paul Thrillsap. Do they bring him back on another massive 1 year sort of contract? Because A, he's old as fuck. But did rock up randomly okay in like a couple of big spots in the playoffs. As long as he's on limited minutes, he's still pretty handy sometimes. But they are really on the cusp of being like fucking good, right? So the thing with Denver is if they can finagle their money and space around, do they trade for someone like Jrue Holiday, Kevin Love, Victor Oladipo, etc.? Just that sort of second tier, third tier all-star, star kind of dude to put around Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, hello. Because, shit, if they get a name like that, then you got to feel pretty good. And Denver, it's like we've spent pretty much the last 2 years. Do you trust Denver? It's like, well, fuck, man, if they get Jrue Holiday, I trust them a lot more than I did without Jrue Holiday, you know what I'm saying? So Denver fall into this weird spot where they're a contender, but I don't know, man. Like, do you really think that they can go out and actually win the title? They are if they keep Michael Porter Jr. and he grows into just an absolute gun scorer. And they add somebody pretty handy this offseason using, I don't know, Gary Harris, a sign-and-trade for Jeremy Grant. Who knows? Gonna be fucking fascinating. That's a really cool move for Denver. Who knows what's gonna happen? Number four, the Atlanta Hawks. And they've got number six in the draft, and they've got cap space. And if there was anywhere fucking perfect to literally, you know, throw all the money in the world at Spindles Ingram, it's the Hawks, isn't it? Like, you just think Trae Young. Let's get Spindles in. We've got Clint Capela. We've got Jordan Collins. That's a total cocktail. And we've got a bevy of young wings who we feel kind of good about, but we're also not completely sold on the fact that they're, you know, stars or anything. But, you know, they're not bad. And they're young. This is the thing. You've got, like, Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerta, and DeAndre Hana. So, I don't know. If you can add, like, a real fucking gun with your money there. The problem is, as mentioned, if you fucking throw a restricted offer at Spindles Ingram, you're tying up your cap space for as long as it takes the Pelicans to, inevitably match and go fuck off. So they need to try to find good shit to surround Trae Young and co. Like, I don't know. Do you try to, like, throw all the money at Fred VanVleet and go, you know what? What we need is similar to the Raptors. We've got Trae Young, and we'd have Freddie VanVleet of the fighting VanVleets. That'd be fucking fun. Let's go. The old dual point guard. I love it. But maybe you're Joe Harris, a gun shooter. Gordie Hayward? How does that go? Well, he's unrestricted if he... he has a contract for this season, but if he, you know, basically backs out of it and goes, nah, I'm good. And, you know, becomes a free agent, then boom, maybe. How about Bogdan Bogdanovic over there in Sacramento? That's another playmaker. And if the Hawks want to turn themselves into fucking Spurs East, like they reckon, well, who better to turn into your Ginobili than Bogdan. Love it. Hawks. They're a team that want to take a big step. And in the East, it's very fucking possible because, look, they were on one at the start of last season, don't forget, but then everybody sort of caught up with them. And you do feel like another year into Cam Reddish, into DeAndre Hunter, into Huerta, Trae Young is a gun. If they can find that next little bit, who knows what could happen. Fascinating. Number three, the Phoenix Suns of Phoenix, Arizona. They're on the rise. The rise of the Phoenix. But look, the one thing they should be doing is making sure they bring back their most important player, Aaron Bangers Baines. We'll talk about him in a second in Australian Player Watch. But also, they're the sort of team, if they make smart moves like they did of adding Bangers and Rubio to a young core last offseason, if they can make another couple of little incremental steps, boom, that'll be nice. They have to decide if they want to keep Kelly Oubre. He's got 15 mil coming this year. Every team that has Kelly Oubre, though, is kind of like, oh, he's good, but I don't like him. Talk about old mate, no mates. But they have that weird young core in Phoenix. Oubre, Bridges, Johnson, the homie Dario Saric. And for how badly they've fucking just blown the draft over the last decade, they're still only like one solid piece away. And like, Devin Booker very clearly is like, you know what, Suns, I just signed this giant fucking deal. But at the same time, I fucking hate you. So, convince me to stay or I'm going to fucking demand a trade to go play with my buddies D'Angelo Russell and Kat up there in Minnesota. So, let's fucking see it. So, Devin Booker's pretty much got them over a barrel. They are one piece away, I think, from being very tasty. And obviously, the West is a fucking gauntlet every year. And next year will be no different, where you've literally got, what, who's going to be the worst team in the West next year? Minnesota? They had fucking playoff aspirations this year. They got the number one pick. I don't know, tricky. But Phoenix, look, Booker's a gun. If you can upgrade from Rubio to 3-3-3, ooh, watch out. Who knows what could happen? Do they send, look, they've got pick number 10. Do they send that and Rubio off for CP3 and maybe something else in return? Not bad. Number two, most interesting team in free agency, the Knicks. Like, who fucking knows what the New York Knickerbockers of New York City are going to do? Are they ever going to do? Like, sign Fred VanVleet because they just love signing Raptors players and trying to get Raptors players. They can think it's ScoMo's approach to Cole, Christian Wood. What do you reckon? Would they trade for CP3 just because they're fucking nuts? Yeah, they're the Knicks. Who knows? They could trade for Rusty. And you know what? They're going to do something. It doesn't know. Like, this cap space is just going to burn a fucking hole in their pocket. Because it was hilarious. It popped off, I think, over the weekend where it's like, oh, the Knicks. I've heard from sources that the Knicks are willing to take on bad contracts in return for assets. And everyone's like, oh, that's smart. Everyone's like, oh, duh. Like, no fucking shit. That's what you should have been doing the last 4 years, you dildos. What the fuck? Anyway, it would be hilarious if they traded for Rusty and just decided to go, nah, fuck it. I love it. Let's get weird, Knicks. Trade for Rusty. It is your ultimate fate to have Russell Westbrook on the Knicks. Let's do it. But I mean, I don't know. They could do something smart and maybe roll the dice on trading for Victor Oladipo. I don't know. Some weird stuff out there. The Knicks, let's get weird. But number one, a team that doesn't even really have cap space, but is going to be basically the chess master out there. Waiting to make moves or then see an opening or just moving behind the shadows, figuring out moves and moves and moves on top of moves. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. So much revolves around what they're going to do this offseason. CP3, Gallo, Dennis Schroeder, Aim German, Rondo, Steve Nidham's Brew. Like, they've got so many players that they could either bring back, trade, sign and trade in the case of Gallo, etc. They've got an absolute fucking crap ton of picks. What can they do with all of them? What are they going to do? Are they just going to sit on them like a fucking, what is it, Smaug in the fucking Hobbit? Just a fucking dragon? I don't know. But OKC, they've got every option open to them, I think, at this point to really rebuild. And you look at their roster and you're like, all right, well, what's our best, like, what are our actual things that we're going to build around? It's like Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, and not a giant amount much more, you know? So who knows? It feels very much like that's a team that's going to be finagling a whole bunch of different shit around the draft. And you're like, oh, here we go. Now we've got some movers and shakers. And they'll end up with a couple of sneaky picks where you're like, ooh, that's a good dude. I like that one. Nice. So there you go. Top five interesting team, most interesting teams in free agency. There's a lot of other sort of movers and shakers as well. Obviously, when it comes to free agency, I've kind of sort of picked teams that have like a little bit of wiggle room and actually have some big choices to make. Charlotte are another one. The Pistons as well. I mean, Golden State, obviously what they're going to do with the number two pick is a huge one, but that's more about, you know, off-season, dude. So we might talk a little bit more about, just in terms of off-season movers and shakers, what are the sort of things we want to see happen next week. But first, let's finally get around to doing the NBA Straya Massive Straya Player Watch. What do you reckon about this one? Let's bloody well do it. Where they are, where they should go. What are they going to do? What might happen for every bloke that is currently Australian and in the NBA? So we've got a couple of tiers here. Safest houses where they are. ... Probably. All right, this one goes to Big Simo, Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, and obviously Jingles. But first off, Big Simo, his situation, obviously, there's a probably at the very end of that, because Daryl Morey has taken over there in Philly. The new Brains Trust as well. Like, they'll probably stand pat with their two superstars to at least have a look and see if Doc Rivers can get them to mesh, see how it works, see how they're looking this season. But until they actually do mesh and start killing motherfuckers like Simo's name and Bede's name, they will be probably just brought up every time this fucking happens, right? But with the short off season, it's just fucking highly unlikely that Simo's going anywhere. But where would you like to see him if he does get traded? Just replace fucking Draymond in Golden State. Give me Wigo number two, a million other fucking first rounders, and boom. Maybe Phoenix. Okay, see, I don't know. Ian Shea, that'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, him running the show in Phoenix. Whoa, what, yeah? But basically, you want somewhere you're like, all right, we've got a crap ton of shooters. We need a dude who can handle, run the floor, dunk, kick some ass, and is a defensive menace. And to be honest, that's a shit ton of teams. So the flip side of that is, like, who would Philly want to deal with to pretty much bring in something that could work around Embiid? And we just don't know yet, so... I don't know. He would be amazing on OKC, Golden State, but he'd be amazing anywhere. So Golden State, look, I just don't think it's going to happen. Morey is a wheeler and dealer, but without seeing Simo and Embiid healthy and playing under Doc Rivers, I don't think you make a move, do you? All right, I've also got Matty T there in Philly. Look, I think this one's pretty easy as well, similar to Jingles. He's fine where he is. He's going to be all right. He'll stick there because, to be honest, Philly have got no other young assets. He's a gun defender. And look, if he can start hitting threes, he'll be an absolute fucking legend. So unless he's packaged up with somebody else like Tobias Harris or Al Horford, Matty T, I reckon we'll stick in Philly. So, Jinglin' Joe Ingles, safe as houses in Utah. Signed an extension with the Jazz as well to keep him there for another couple of years. He's a big part of the rotation, obviously. He isn't going anywhere unless they get a massive chance at a big name wing in a trade. And I don't think out there are any really big name wings that you can trade for. Like, Victor Oladipo is pretty much just like shittier Donovan Mitchell at this point. Injured Donovan Mitchell. Taller Donovan Mitchell, maybe, but still. So I just don't really quite see anything happening with Jingles, even as basically salary floats him, because you're not going to attach. Like, if you want to use somebody for salary floats him, you've got Rudy Gobert out there, and you're probably not going to throw a whole bunch more at another team that's going to involve Jingles, because there's not too many contracts out there that need a Jingles on top of a Gobert, you know what I'm saying? So where's Jingles going to stay at? Where would he be best at? I mean, right where he is, giving Donovan Mitchell shit and making sure he keeps his fucking head on straight. That's what Jingles does best. All right. The next tier, though, choice as brew free agent. Sick as bro. Free agents, bangers. Aaron, bangers, Baines. The situation for bangers, obviously, unrestricted free agent after years being underpaid because Boston fucked him. Danny Ainge going, hey, Aaron, how about we pay you this much? I know it's not as much as we thought we were going to pay you. And Banger's like, oh, if I get to stay here, fucking sick, man. And then fucking that prick, Danny Ainge, went and traded him. So go fuck yourself, Boston. And Banger's, turns out, is in a great spot in Phoenix. And Boston is sitting there going, oh, fuck. Just imagine if we had Aaron Baines. Absolutely spewing. Look, Phoenix were great when he was healthy and they were awesome in the bubble. And you add him to their bubble team because obviously he got the Rona, didn't play in the bubble. Phoenix have also got Frank the Tank, which is like shitty American dumb-looking bangers who's just not as good. So, I don't know. He could be cheaper if they don't want to pay, what, 7-8 mil up to the mid-level exemption of 9.8 to bangers. So, I don't know. Where could he go? Well, if you want to get a big one-year balloon payment, Miami. I mean, he's like if you combine Myers Leonard and Kelly Olynyk and made them less shit and combine them with Bam Adebayo. So if you give me the fucking mid-level exception for that, boom, laughing. Golden State, if they don't want to go big in the draft with Wiseman, that's all right. How about the Clippers? When they decline to sign Montrez, how about you just bring on bangers? Spend some of that Bulmer money, bring in the big man, and go, right, Montrez Harrell couldn't fucking guard Nikola Jokic or Anthony Davis. Let's fucking dance. Now I've got bangers. You guys are fucked. But also, you know who really needs a big man who can shoot? Boston. Sucked in, dickheads. But either way, bangers, look, there's pretty much... He is the Aussie unicorn at this point. He can do it all. Play defense, stretch the floor, nail threes, drop a 37 and 12 on your fucking head without blinking. So anywhere he goes, you feel like... Because of his age, he probably will top out at the mid-level exception unless he gets like a massive one-year sort of raise from a team like Miami who are trying to keep 2021 cap space. Because, I mean, look, he will add a lot next year. He's already 33, though. He'll be 34 by the start of the next season. So, yeah, don't expect like a 3 or 4 year contract for bangers, but similar to the last one he signed, 2-3 year, $5 million plus, wouldn't be out of the question, obviously. Going to be interesting to see where he ends up. Trade bait. Oh, it hurts my fucking heart to say this, but we've actually got a couple of the Aussie blokes who are a bit of trade bait this year. Paddy Thrills. He's the heart and soul of that goddamn Spurs team. Unfortunately, the Spurs also have a crap ton of small guards who score pretty bloody well. And... Paddy is, look, as great as he is, he's also 32 and, well, look, he's making 13 mil this year and it's the last year of his contract. So if the Spurs want to get anything for him, they could trade him this year easily. And even though he embodies the Spurs way, grit, hustle, I think he's the last remaining Spur from the 2014 title team. He could be elsewhere at the start of the next season. Which, I don't know, man. Like, the Spurs just have, like, Bryn Forbes. They've got fucking Derek White. They've got, who else? DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson. So, yeah, Paddy Mills might be a little bit on the outer. But at the same time, it might be just because the Spurs, I feel like they need to rebuild. And there you go. Paddy Thrills might be a bit of a luxury they don't rightly need. Where would he go? Look, anywhere that needs a bench scoring boost, who knows what to do, plays his ass off, so that's everybody. But I'm also looking at you, Clippers. It's like he's Lou Williams, but who plays defense and is a gun. He'd be great with the Suns, be pretty good for Denver. Just imagine him and Michael Porter Jr. He'd just basically be like a way better Monty Morris. Utah with Jingles, especially if they don't bring back Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. He'd be great up there in Utah with Jingles. But yeah, I'm not entirely convinced he'll stay in San Antonio. But we haven't heard much from him from this offseason, so I don't know. He might see the writing on the wall. He might have already had the conversation. So who knows what's going to happen at the start of this season. Dante Sexum. Exum, a.k.a. Kangaroo Kobe, a.k.a. Son of Cecil. The situation for Dante, obviously, is that he's on Cleveland. There you go. He's also stuck behind two other lottery... guards. He's only 25, but I mean, Darius Garland and Colin Sexman Sexton are 21 and 20. So I don't know, man. Dante's a big question mark. Like literally, because we just don't fucking know. After his first year, he played 82 games. He played 66 in his second year. And since then, he's played 14, 42, and 35. Like, how do you get a fucking handle on if he's any good or not? But the thing is, I guess if Cleveland don't take another guard in the draft, he'll get a lot of run for the Cavs. And he was actually getting a bit of run this season. And it, This is the thing with Dante. Literally every time he starts getting a bit of run, he plays well, then he gets fucking hurt. Every year. You're like, here he comes, here we go. Bah, fuck. So, leaving that aside, where would he work best? Obviously, Cleveland would be great. Because, look, they're going to be shit next year. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA. So, behind Sexman and behind Garland, look, he could actually replace Garland. Who fucking knows if that guy's any good? So, he just needs a bit of a run to show how good he can be. But how about to Golden State, the number two pick for number five and Exum? Maybe Larry Nance Jr. as well? Whoa. The Warriors is fucking loading up. Cavs can then take Wiseman at number two, pair him with Garland and Sexman. That'd be great. It'd also be pretty good if you saw him in Detroit, reboot his shit, you know? They need a point guard, and if they don't want to splurge for Freddie Van Vliet, you need someone to take over eventually from Derrick Rose. Boom. Dante Sexum, let's fucking dance. Next to Luke Kennard, the Duckman. Sekou Doumbouya. Love it. Or about Philly, next to his childhood mate Simo. There you go. You need a fucking point guard in Philly to play next to Simo. Get Dante there. Love it. Get him out of fucking farting up Deli's guest house and farting up Simo's spare room in his apartment. All right, speaking of which, the next tier is really up in the air. King Deli. Matty Dellavedova. So the situation is that he's in Cleveland, but he's out of contract. You'd think that Cleveland would probably bring him back on a veteran minimum deal just to help with the development of Sexton and Garland, and probably Exum, actually, to be honest. I mean, in terms of like the grit, defense, spirit, you've also got the Cavs title-winning tax that you could probably pay for a year to keep him around. So it's a bit tricky because any team that's like, oh, we need a defense first, backup point guard, they should use Deli. But, I mean, every time he got a bit of a go this year, he wasn't too bad. The tricky part's going to be convincing people that he's still got some in the tank. So, where would he work best? I mean, it's probably in Cleveland. It's basically backing up anywhere that has young point guards, which, to be honest, is like half the fucking league. So, I think he's pretty fine getting a minimum deal. If he's happy with the veteran minimum, he should be fine sticking around. Because he's probably got one or two more good years as a veteran point guard off the bench. And then, look, you'll probably end up as the Tassie Jack Jumper's fucking marquee name next year or something. So, tough scenes there for Dally, though. But, yeah, the game of, like, if his shot hadn't fallen off a fucking cliff this season after he was reworking his mechanics and everything, where he sort of showed in the lead up to the World Cup and stuff, it's like, here we go. And then, just, it didn't happen, and it felt weird and bad. But I don't know, it'd be nice to see him just stick around and hang out and be a fucking legend. What about Kung Fu Thon? Kung Fu Thon McCurt. He's only 23. Jesus. Detroit's probably going to renounce his rights, but bring him back on the cheap. Yeah, the qualifying offer for 4.8 mil, which came with, I think, with a cap hold of about 10 mil. Jesus. So they can just roll the dice, see, just basically bring him back. They've got nothing else going. He can develop there, especially if they don't bring back Christian Wood, they'll be shit out of fucking luck, so they'll probably actually need bodies. They've got no front court. They've no Andre Drummond. They've got basically him and Blake. That's about it. They've also got dollars to spend, so look, even the most optimistic Detroit fans got to admit that there's just fucking no one out there they could really bring in to help this year, right? So may as well just go fuck it, see if Thon can continue to develop. Where should he go, though? Great spot there in Detroit. Lots of minutes for him, probably. Maybe Charlotte. They could maybe kick the tires on Kung Fu Thon. Milwaukee would always welcome him back. There's an idea. It's the old Jarrett Jack idea of bringing him into Toronto because he's friends with Chris Bosh. Giannis fucking loves Thon. So, I know, but there's also the ideas of, like, what happens with the other young dudes, the young bigs, I guess, for Portland and Miami. I think they'd be good spots as well. You can hang out, develop, maybe get some nice minutes. Portland, because, look, they've got Nurk, they've got Collins, but after that, they'll let Hassan Whiteside go because, A, he's a fucking idiot, B, he's a whinger. Miami, who knows what's going to happen with Kelly, Hoser, Olynyk, and Myers Leonard. Don't know. But at the same time, like, I feel like Detroit's pretty good because for him to take the next step, Kung Fu Thon just needs to be fucking playing. And if that's empty stats on a bad team, like, so fucking be it. Like, Detroit might be the worst team in the league next year. So I'd try to stick around and show them what you've got, you know? Build up that fucking, that base knowledge of what you can and can't do. The next one in the really up in the air spots is Rowdy, Ryan Brockoff, friend of the program. The situation, end up in Philly after being cut by Dallas for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Still fucking can't get over that. But then didn't play in the bubble for Philly because his missus, and with the COVID, she was a high risk of getting it. So he obviously stuck around with his very young family. And look, good on him. That's fucking great. And it was to the point where he didn't go to the bubble, stayed in Dallas where he was living. So look, the spot for Rowdy, I mean, he's a big wing who can shoot the shit out of the ball. So he fucking, he's the Aussie Joe Harris. Literally everybody needs him. I mean, obviously Dallas and Philly both need to surround their stars with shooting, and few fucking shooter better than Ryan Rowdy. Brockoff. Miami, they could always use another shooter. Clippers, boo, right there. Nets. If they lose Aussie Joe Harris, look for Sean Marks to go, oi, Rowdy, what are you doing? But obviously a lot of options there for Rowdy. Would really like to see him on Dallas again, just because with Courtney Lee finally fucking gone, I just want to see him get a bit of a chance. Speaking of gone, Jonah Bolden situation didn't get brought back by the Suns, even though they need a big man depth. That tells you a lot. So where's he going to end up? Europe, baby. See you, Jonah. Lots of people will be sad about that, I'm sure. Now, the prospective prospects. Who else is out there who can end up on an NBA roster next year? How about the Creek Freak? He's out there with the Rise of the Phoenix. The Southeast Melbourne Magic Phoenix. He was looking to be on the way back to the NBA. Mentioned it. Towards the end of last season, but then he hurt his knee towards the end of the NBL season, and that scuttered it. It looked like he was probably going to go to Golden State. Maybe Minnesota, 10-day contracts here and there, maybe for the rest of the season. So where would he end up that would actually work? I think now that we've got a little bit more of a concrete idea about what the fuck's going on with the NBL, I think we'll see him basically prove that he's healthy for the Phoenix, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets tapped again by Minnesota, where he's obviously got a really good relationship with Kat and co. Golden State, obviously, look, he could be a mini Iggy. Give me the Creek Freak as Iguodala, 12th man. Breaking case of emergencies there with Golden State. But look, they were cycling through dudes. They obviously gave him a look, so I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up there either. That'd be great. Get a ring, Creaky. Will Magne. Situation, he's obviously on Brizzy at the moment. Was reported by dummies out there that he was going to go to the bubble because dummies apparently didn't know how the fucking bubble worked because they were dummies. But before the end of the season, looked like he was going to be going to Golden State again on a 10-day. Maybe to Dallas as well. But where he would have gotten a good look, I reckon, in Golden State. They needed big bodies. They still kind of need big bodies. And I reckon he'll definitely get a look this year, especially as I reckon the NBA is going to... Look, one thing where it comes to the prospective prospects and Rowdy and co like that, I reckon they'll have expanded rosters this season again. And I feel like someone like Dallas could have a look at Will Magne, maybe New Orleans on the sly. I would not be surprised if he ends up on an NBA roster. Speaking of which, Rock'em, Sock'em, Block'em, Jock'em, Landale. He was in Europe last year. Zalgiris Kaunas, opted out because he was like, all right, we're on one here, going to the NBA. Let's go. And was pretty much very keen to go to the bubble. Had the NBA opt out. There was a group of teams interested in him. He was good in Lithuania. You know, 20 minutes a game, 11-4. Only shot 30% from three, but we know he can stroke it. In the olden days, you'd be like, oh, this feels like a banger situation. He'd stick around in Europe for a couple more years and develop, but build up his game. But I feel like for Jock'em, he might get the tap on the shoulder, and teams might now feel like they can jump the process of bangers developing over overseas and get little bangers. Jock Landau right now. What do you reckon? So fascinating question about where he could end up this season. I would have guessed Philly with all the Aussie connections. That would have been fun as... but obviously no Brett Brown and Morey's there. Don't know if he's going to end up there. Toronto, look, if they could, they might lose all their big men depth with Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Jock Landale will be a great spot there. And the Magic, big front court already, but they've got to probably end up moving, Mo Bamba? Maybe Aaron Gordon? Maybe Vooch? Who knows? So I don't know. The Magic always seem to be in need of big dudes rebounding and doing cool shit. Golden State, same thing with big bodies. Minnesota, always trying to get dudes to do work with Cat. Cleveland, there's a roll of the dice team if ever there was one, right? Once they move Kevin Love, there's definitely front court spots they need to fill. They should probably maybe look to see if they can get rid of Larry Nance Jr. as well. See if they can't get something back for him if they don't reckon they're going to keep him forever. The Spurs, they always love a bit of overseas action. He fits in very nicely with the Pop mold. Clippers, if Trez bounces, bang, get Jock'em in there. Away we go. Bucks, he played for their summer league team. You know they keep an eye on him. But the tricky part for Rock'em Sock'em Jock'em Landale is the draft. If you'd been able to glom onto a bubble team, like the Raps or the Bucks or the Celtics, he'd be a fucking shoo-in for this season, I reckon. But teams with the old draft can actually fill their needs on the cheap, so it's going to make it that much harder for him to get in. But as I said, with the expanded rosters, he might be all right. Humphrey, Isaac Humphrey's situation is he's hanging out by the River Torrens, neck and beers at the Gov on the 36ers. Didn't get a lot of run last year with the Lakeland Magic and Co. Was dealing with injuries. Sat on the bench bunch. And then when the season came back, he was just rounding into form. Boom, COVID. All over. Bit of a shame. Good for the Erie Bay Hawks the year before. So look, plenty of chances. See how he can go in this NBL season. Very similar to Creaky and similar to Will Magnay, right? Could end up back in the Magical Hawks. That'd make the most sense because they've had an eye on him. I reckon he rolls through the year on the 36ers. See if he gets on the tap on the shoulder from someone who needs a big fella. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Denga Dell, his sitch after stints with the Cavs, Nets, Raptors, 905. Now with the Hawks in the Gong. And I reckon he'll be similar vibe. Prove himself in the NBL with an eye to maybe get another tap back with the Cavs. They always need good wings. Boom. And then finally, probably our only draft prospect, because after McCurr, the old 6'11 McCurr, basically committed to Howard, a historical black college university, which is pretty great. Five-star McCurr. So if he wasn't going to be a first-round pick this year, they were like, all right, fuck it, we'll go to college, and it seems that's what's happened. So, but the big one is Josh Green. So this is a Greeny. Green, he's been at the situation for Greeny, obviously 1 year in Arizona. Now projected late lottery, mid-late teens draft pick. I've seen one or two picks, mock drafts where he's actually fallen to the second round, but I don't think that's likely to happen. He's a 6'6" wing who can shoot from fucking three. He shot 36% from three. He's a bit streaky, yeah, but fuck. Dude is great. He'd be great at San Antonio at 11, but it feels like that might be a little bit high. Maybe Boston. Look, Boston probably going to draft and stash dudes. So at 14, probably not. Be a great fit for Portland at 16, right? Him and Gary Trent, Terrence Trent Darby Jr. That'd be fun. Minnesota at 17, but I mean, Minnesota's a tricky one, right? Because they're going to have Malik Beasley probably coming back. And if they take Anthony Edwards at one, jeez, that's a crowded wing rotation all of a sudden. I want his absolute floor to be the Sixers at 21 or the Jazz at 23, just to see him with some other Aussies. And also the Sixers and Yaz need dudes who can shoot threes and play defense and are guns. So he'd be great on OKC, actually, next to Shai Gilgeous Alexander. They're at 25. So Josh Green, look, we're going to talk about more of him as we go into our draft preview season, which will be from next week, basically, because only a couple of weeks and boom, draft. So what do you reckon? Josh Green. All right, love him. I love him, obviously. Just don't know where he's going to end up. Ooh, it's going to be fun finding out, though, isn't it? Love this. Off-season. Some good shit. All right, we'll be back in a second with a quick run of Yeah Nahs. Right after. Let's hear from Creaky. Fuck it.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, Nahs, always brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. Remember, Melbourne, we're not locked down that much anymore. You can do what you want. But still, thedailyliquor.com are delivering booze to your door. So go check that out and you'll get free beers on us, the delicious Dos X. Use the code STRAYA. They'll give you a free six-pack of the Dos X. It's fucking great. Best part is they've got great wines. The missus fucking loves their wines. She's co-host of NFL Australia, Gaz. He punished the cocktail pack the other day. Unreal. So there you go. Wines, cocktails. So even if you're not in the bureaus, boom. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free six for the Dos X and you'll be laughing. So there you go. Dailyliquor.com. Melbourne Metro area. Same day delivery before 1 o'clock. Go get around that. Smash the code STRAYA. Get a sixer on us. It's just getting nice and warm too. Until today. Anyway, let's take some NBA storylines aside whether more yam or nah. Number one from Brad McKeegan. Listen to Brad. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em. Landale will be in the league next year. Yeah, nah. I broke it down and I really, look, my overall feeling for Jock'em is that, yeah, I feel like he probably would have ended up on a team if this was a normal offseason, and I still think he'll go. He might end up tagging along. Maybe, look, the G League season is up in the air. So NBL might be a good one just to prove that he's out there crushing it. But I reckon he will be. So there you go. Daryl Morey, is this a good hire for the Philadelphia 76ers, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I mean, obviously, fuck yeah. Because they were a fucking shit show. Blind leading the fucking blind there for ages. Now you got a dude who can piece together some crazy shit when he's allowed free reign. And I think we all know from the reports that the Russell Westbrook trade wasn't really Morey's idea. Just saying. So I love it. Because if there's a dude that you just trust to fucking come up with creative stuff to really build out a roster around dudes like Simo and Embiid, Harris, Richo, Horford, etc. It's probably, number one choice is probably going to be like Danny Ainge, Daryl Morey, Sam Presti. Who knows? Love it. But that's a great move. And you got to feel much more confident about shit if you're Philly, right? Next up, other Warriors idiots, Jimmy. Whoa, where did that come from? Yeah, nah, well, just saying, for a team that reckons they're light years ahead, feels like they're a year behind, right? They released their new Oakland Forever City Edition jerseys, which is like the We Believe motif back from, you know, mid-thousands, to celebrate the team's 47 years in Oakland. And they've already moved to San Fran, you fucking idiots. What are you doing? Why aren't you doing it for that last year in Oakland? You fucking morons. Yeah, they are dickheads. Jimmy, do you believe the rumor that Giannis will only sign a long-term contract in Miami? Yeah, nah. I mean, you mean the rumor that started with the presenter of a Greek TV show from Miami? Because he spends his off-season time there where it's warm? Yeah, nah. Look, I think if the Bucks make a CP3 trade or something similarly big this off-season to convince him to stay and actually make a finals, he stays in Milwaukee. If they get bundled out of the Eastern Conference Finals again, I'd be looking at that Miami team with Butts, Hero, and Bam and going, fuck yeah, let's win some titles. So I wouldn't be that surprised. But, you know, these are the first little rumblings of shit that you see that eventually down the track you go, oh, the pieces are right there, Mr. Policeman. that big fat sack of shit, Brian Windhorst, was like, hey, Minnesota have made the number one pick really available. Will Mini trade the number one pick? Yeah, nah, nah. Unless it's to a team. Look, this is obvious. This is obvious fucking posturing. Exactly what you should do in a weak draft. We're not 100% sold on someone. Because if Charlotte or the Knicks or Detroit want to move up and get the dude that they want, I mean, yes, you've got to tell people, oh, well, hey, if you want to do that, it's going to cost you. But we're open to doing so. Of course. So, are they sitting there going, oh, no, we're going to trade it? Well, if they don't get the right offer, then they won't. But still, seriously, unless someone below them wants to move up to get Wiseman or someone, you just take Edwards and bounce. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. Is Mike D'Antoni going to Brooklyn a good move for Mike D and the Nets? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. Love it. 17 seconds or less of dribbling from Kyrie. What do you reckon? Over, under. But I love it. This is great. The fucking, it gives Nash a steady hand to help out. The student becomes the master. And Ime Udoka, that's probably the real coup here, right? Like getting a guy next to Jacques Vaughn. That's basically, look, they're up for as many head coaching gigs as anybody, right? And they've got what Kyrie pretty much spoke about. They've got head coaches everywhere. They've got four of them basically on the bench already. And Kyrie and KD reckon they are too. So I don't know. I just like it for both Mike D and Ime Udoka. They get a year chilling, helping Nash take his lumps, trying to sort out a couple of fucking head cases, and boom, away you go. Does Steven Silas make sense in Houston, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. Obviously, highly rated NBA lifer. Learned from Carlisle and co. Comes from Dallas. I think he'll win the respect of the players pretty easily and probably came cheap. So it makes a lot of sense for the frittata. Love that. But I also like taking a chance on a dude with that sort of pedigree and hope you land the next Buds or Mike Malone or Terry Stotts and, yeah. Like that. So good shit. Jimmy, does the NBA start in December? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I reckon we'll get there. By the end of this week, we'll get there. The players will probably go, right, we'll put this amount of escrow. We'll figure it out. We're not going to... Look, some of the players as well, they're sitting there going, dude, we haven't played since fucking March. Can we just get out there and play December? Shut up, LeBron. Like, take a couple of weeks off. Who cares? But I think we will end up getting there. I just think the owners And the Players Association probably don't want to rip up that CBA because the players will get fucked in the next round of CBA negotiations because the owners will be like, you idiots, you keep costing us money and now you want a 50-50 split still? Fuck yourselves. I mean, so tricky stuff. Tricky stuff. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
On the side of the owners, I mean, shouldn't they just go, all right, if you idiots want to make less money, cool. Go fuck yourselves, because we're going to fucking not rake money in this year. And if you idiots are like, 60 games, January start, we'll go to August. If I'm an owner, I'm like, all right, well, why? How about I just fucking lock you out? And instead of operating in a loss this season, fuck you. I'll lock you idiots out till next October. You lose the season, I'll be fine. I don't have that much in the way of outgoings at the moment. And boom. Like, doesn't that make sense from their perspective? Like, 60 games, you're not going to get all your money from the regional sports networks. You're not going to get gate receipts. You're going to cop it from the broadcasters going up against the Olympics. You're going to get fucked by that. The players who want to play in the Olympics as well get fucked over. But also, the big thing sort of hanging over the top of all that is you push back the next season maybe as well. And you probably hurt your next deal with the broadcasters again. So you fucking, again, it's the cutting off your nose to spite your face shit. So, I don't know, lock them out. That's a way to stem the bleeding if you're an owner. It'd fuck you because it'd kill all the goodwill that you built up over the years, but you might lose less money. I don't know. It's very, very, very rare that I go on the side of the owners, but at the same time, the Players Association going, yeah, what's a $500 million to $1 billion? And the NBA is like, well, I mean, it's a bunch of your money as well, you idiots. So I feel like they should figure that out. And finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback, and TGIF Friday's come early this week, so we've got 4-for-1 oil drum cans of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right, we call it Australian for beer to you Yanks, because you're all fucking idiots. And you'll drink anything, even though it's horse piss, you fucking morons. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, if the Heat and Lakers and other teams or players who are a bit tired want to sit out and have more of a rest at the start of the season, then fucking let them. But then they've got to make it up on the back end. So how about we give them a choice? What do you fucking idiots want? A normal-ish season where you can load manage through 72 games, or a condensed season where you've still got to play your 72 games in less time and put you at a disadvantage against the teams and players who actually play? Because basically, what we're trying to say is, fucking suck it up, you bunch of sooks. Only at Outback. Yeah, that's pretty much where I stand. Checks out. All right. The Creek Freak Insta Inspiration Appreciation Society. Creaky getting in the Raspberry Vs and doing some sick dirt bike riding. Go check that out on Instagram. Pretty fun. And the game previews and picks. I mean, I'm crushing it at NFL Australia, so we're doing all right. But in terms of like odds, let's have a quick squiz at the NBA draft odds for a couple of weeks out. We've got Anthony Edwards, $1.30 to go number one. LaMelo to go number one is $3.60. Interesting. He's ahead of Wiseman, who's $6. Denny Avija, 17-1. Killian Hayes, 26-1. And ain't no stopping Obi Toppin, 41-1. Anthony Edwards, very short odds to go number one. Which is pretty weird because, I mean, if Charlotte trade up, Wiseman's going to be their pick. So $6, shit, might have to throw a little down on that. RJ Hampton's at 101-1. Josh Green at 176-1. Just the other Aussie connections. There you go. And those are brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. All right, that's it for this week. Holy shit, we're done. You might have seen the NFL Australia pop up on your feed. It's got its own channel now, so go subscribe to that if you're keen. Either way, we'll be back next week with more NBA Australia because we'll probably have we might even be back at the end of this week. Who knows? If there's a lockout, if they come to an agreement, if anything crazy fucking happens, we might pop on. But if not, we'll be back next week, hopefully with good news of an NBA start around December 22 or something. At least someone's come to an agreement. That's all we want. All right, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IG. We're all over that all the time. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Buy a hoodie. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a stubby holder. Go on. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It does help out. Go get around the dailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAY. Get a free six-pack of the DOS X. If you're in Melbourne, they're the best. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is the best. Love them. Also, huge thanks go to Joshua Della Renta's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, iOS, Tech Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozer for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Go give them a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J, and Earth and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and so should you, especially while they can't play shows. All right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR, and we'll catch us next week, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, hey, look after yourselves, would you? And Lederhosen. G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, where we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Because, yep, I'm not just a dead set Aussie legend and the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head, which I've now leased out to pretty much everybody in the NBA now. But still, when I'm not sinking threes, talking trash, blowing kisses and looking after me kids, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from a Daryl, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dear Joe, I just took a new job in a new city running a company. Any tips on how to settle into a new place? Cheers, Daryl, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Oh, geez, thanks for writing in, Daryl. Yeah, look, this is a pretty easy one because, to be honest, HR, a lot of the time, is just about trying to get people comfortable in a new job and usually in a new spot. So it's pretty simple, really. Just make sure you get on the beers with everyone at your new gig as soon as possible. It's really simple as that, Daryl. Look, they'll tell you all the good shit about the city, where to go, what to do, you know, where not to go, where not to eat, where to eat, all the good, where the best kebabs are. Because look, everyone loves to be the bloke who told you about that place, you know, that one I told you about. And getting on the beers is the best way to get that going and get everyone opening up. I mean, I've done it everywhere I've gone and I'm bloody beloved everywhere. So, there you go. That's it. Simple as you like, Daryl. Because as we say here at Jingles HR, get on the beers and you'll be right as rain. So, I really hope that helps you out, Daryl. And best of luck in the new gig. All right, that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get on the beers.